Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So welcome to this. This is like a little, is it a non-amendum to yesterday's podcast? I thought I'd quickly do this. I'm sitting in my car in the rain. It's like one of those YouTube videos where someone's like sort of talking to their phone. Except I haven't got a phone, so I actually do have a phone. I think I always tell people that I have a phone. And then the last two podcasts, the voice ended with my phone ringing. But I do have a phone. I have to have a phone when I'm on tour. But I've got a dumb phone, so it's like one of those cat phones that's like waterproof. So yesterday in the podcast, I kind of mentioned this thing that it was a very fleeting comment about the Italians revising their COVID death numbers, and I had an email like very very quickly afterwards from someone. I'll just read it. I won't say who it's from, it's appreciated, the email, but it's just kind of something worth talking about. So it's like, here is a link that debunks the claim that Italy changed its COVID numbers, and there's a link to factcheck.com. I was talking to my wife over coffee, and I thought to mention your claim that Italy changed its COVID-19 numbers, but then thought to check before I brought it up in casual conversation, and to my surprise, it was inaccurate. It's funny how this information can spread from Instagram to you, to me, through podcasts, and then on to my wife at a coffee shop. Love everything you do. Cheers. So that's it's quite an interesting thing just to mention. I think I said in like a previous podcast, like I try not to really mention COVID. I'll talk about all sorts of things, but I try not to mention COVID. I spend so much time now standing on stage talking, and I'm talking to a lot more people. I can no longer remember like what I have actually said on my podcast and what I've actually just said to somebody else. So a little bit of background. Forgive me if I already told this story. But in 2019, in November 2019, I went to the Krakow Film Festival in Poland, and at the same event, there was like all the downstairs of this sort of big massive theatre was like just rammed full of Polish soldiers, and there was like, you know, hundreds and hundreds of Polish, if not a thousand Polish soldiers down there, and upstairs was the film festival. And at that film festival, everyone got ill, basically. Like, you know, you went into the green room, and I would say like a third of the people were ill with this flu. Like, literally, you know, we'd basically, we all had the flu. We were only there for 3 days. We all got the flu in those 3 days, and I didn't really think anything about it. I did kind of think that's kind of odd. Like, we've all got, like, you know, like I woke up in the morning on the second day, and I had this intense pain like in my scalp, and I thought that's kind of a bit weird. And anyway, then I just gradually just felt like shit, basically. And then I kind of, my voice went very croaky. So that was when I first started doing podcasts. So all my first like month of podcasts, I've got this like really croaky voice. And anyway then I went over to the UK from Poland, and then my mum got really ill, and then Vanessa got really ill, and my mum ended up being in bed for like a whole week and stuff. And recently there was a report that they think that the virus of unknown origin was spread via the Olympic, like military Olympic Games, which took place in Wuhan, where loads of armies from around the world were like invited to participate. And Poland was at that Games, and Poland apparently did very, very well. Like, I've got a news article somewhere about Poland doing really well in the Olympic Games. So, so it's kind of it's kind of amateurish sleuth. Anyway, potentially that could kind of explain why maybe I've not had the virus of unknown origin since. So, but anyway, that's just like an aside, really. So sharing this link, like most people, I have been very interested in, you know, like trying to understand what the hell is going on, because it has like a big, I think Mark Rippetoe was saying, someone was saying, why don't you stick to talking about weightlifting? And he said, you know, that basically, you know, he has no interest in politics, but politics has interest in him, and politics has come and basically fucked his life up, so he's going to start talking about it. And but I don't really want to, like I said before, I always feel like people who are listening to this are kind of my friends in a way, and it's kind of different if you're on social media, because they're not necessarily your friends, they're probably more likely not to be your friends. So, but with a podcast, it's kind of different. Like, you're inviting me into your brain in a very sort of different way, and I just find it kind of a bit unpleasant, all that kind of stuff, talking about it, and it's kind of a bit upsetting, and it's very one reason it is upsetting is it's basically now become like an issue of faith, really. It's not an issue of logic or trying to understand or trying to balance, you know, what we don't know with what we do know, which, like, what we do know is actually quite small, but what we don't know is very large. Is it subjection? Anyway. I just try and stay away from it, but I do kind of, it does kind of consume quite a large part of my day, you know, like listening to things, reading things, and just trying to understand what the hell's going on. Mainly not in order to go around telling people, you know, what I think and what I, but it's mainly as a survival, like I have to try and, you know, I'm on tour, I'm driving around the country, I'm like standing in front of like thousands of people, I'm interacting with like, you know, hundreds of people, you know, as in, you know, meeting people, being in venues, going to, having to get food from places, blah, blah, blah. You know, so it's kind of in my interest in terms of survival to try and understand what's going on. Like a few things I kind of notice is you could strip it back and make it not about COVID. You could say me saying that the Italians have revised their figures down, instead of 130,000 people who've died of COVID, I think it's less than 4,000 people have died of COVID. So if that's false or fake news, what is the consequences, I guess, the consequences of that being true, or what the consequence of people believing it's true, what is it? I think it would mean that people would maybe be less afraid. Maybe people would be, you know, like when you walk past people in the street and they're old people and actually fucking terrified and they think that you're gonna stab them in the face or something, like maybe that might, I don't think it would by now, because I think it's sort of ingrained in people, that fear. I think, you know, maybe that would alleviate some of the fear from people. So if that is the case, I would flip it back. I would say, well, isn't that what masks do as well? Like, masks are really a placebo. Like, someone wearing a buff or something is not going to do anything, you know. Like, I was given a proper medical grade mask by a theatre. You know, is it not an N1? But it's basically what you would wear if you were You know, if you were in somewhere where there was an Ebola virus, and I'll tell you, like, you cannot fucking breathe through this thing. It's like someone holding their hand in front of your mouth. Like, it's really, really like a really horrible kind of experience to wear it. Like, I just could not wear it. So I just replaced it with one of those ones you get from Tesco's, which really is not kind of, you know, if you, and again, like, this is we're getting to articles of faith here, and this is why I don't get into it, because people will be like, oh no, they do something, but really, they do something, but, you know, so would like putting a sock in your mouth. Like, it doesn't really do anything, you know, but it basically, it's designed to try and, it's like Dumbo with his feather, you know, he would put a feather in his trunk because he thought he could fly with a feather. But really, it wasn't the feather. It was Dumbo's flag. He had massive fucking ears. You could say that, you know. So if you did a fact check of how, if masks were effective, and I'm talking about the masks that nearly everybody's wearing, which are these ones which cost like almost nothing, you just get from the supermarket. The fact checker would, I would think it'd be very hard if the fact checker was to look at 40 years of data. You know, The Lancet recently came out and basically said the same thing. You know, you've got 40 years of data saying they don't work, they're not effective, and you would then have the one study that came out during COVID say they have some effect, but it's, you know. So I'm saying that if you're going to start doing the war of fact-checking, I think you have to be very, very careful, because I think very, very quickly what you feel is like dogma, you know, what you feel is like the truth, will like rapidly kind of unravel. And the nature of fact checking, like, I read a lot of fact checking things, and I generally find in many cases the fact checker actually does the job of convincing you. Like, if you, because I think most people, they'll go to a fact check site, they'll type in the thing, or they'll click on the link, and they'll read the title, they'll see it says this is false, and they may read like the headline, or the, you know, like one paragraph, and they will not read any further down. But generally, if you read further down, you get into these kind of it's often the devil's in the detail. So the fact check I read on this, because this wasn't something I just saw on Instagram. Like, I don't go on Instagram. It wasn't something I saw on Twitter or Facebook, because I don't go on those either. It was something where I read it. I don't know what the source was, but it was actually a source I would trust. And so I did, you know, set Google for it. And as usual, you will not find a reference in like The Guardian or The Telegraph or on the BBC or whatever, because it's a little bit like, you know, like Sweden, Finland, Iceland have stopped giving the Moderna vaccine, and then maybe some others like the Johnson & Johnson, because they think they're, you know, potentially dangerous. And but you won't see those kind of news things on the BBC, or, you know, maybe they're there, but it's very hard to try and get to find those kind of, that bit of information which is genuine news. So recently, when there was a BBC radio presenter died of some kind of thrombosis from having the vaccine, and it popped up on my wife's Facebook, and she said, "Have you seen this?" And immediately it was like, "This is fake news. This is not true." You know, and anyone who shares this is a far right fascist, whatever. But anyway, then it turns out it is true. You know, you'll find there's an article somewhere on the BBC. It's quite hard not to bring it up, you know, when it's like one of your, you know, presenters has died. It's not to say that the vaccine is dangerous. Like, all vaccine, like, I've had, you know, the rabies vaccine, yellow fever vaccine, I've had like every vaccine that's going, and I always knew that when I was taking vaccines, like Noah's having all these vaccines at the moment, it's having a vaccine like tomorrow, you always knew there's kind of a slight risk that something you'll go awry. Like, when I had all my vaccines going to Africa, like, I've realised that when I was looking at my photographs, I always look really knackered afterwards. Like, I'm always just like yawning and laying down. I was like, I wonder if it was, did I pick something up and it was Africa or was it the vaccines? But it doesn't really matter because it's you've had them and you did them for a reason. So, you know, that's just the way it goes. So people dying of having a, you know, a COVID vaccine is, it doesn't really interest me that much because that's kind of what happens. Like people die from taking the contraceptive pill or, you know, there's all these cases. But what does concern me is when people aren't allowed to discuss it, or when they do discuss it, they're told to shut up and they're a Nazi or something, because that is kind of how these things unravel. Because people start losing trust. I think there's never been less trust than there is now in things we read and things we, you know. And I think you do have this thing where the people we once trusted are now just telling the noble lie. You know, we've invested so much in things we knew were true that we have to protect ourselves by not allowing people to find out it wasn't true. And, you know, maybe people just forget, because most things just go down the memory hole. Like the vac, you know, if you look at the data, the vaccine, you know, like a lot of people are saying, I'm not coming to your tour because I have to have my booster. And, you know, those people will then tell you that the vaccine they had was 100% effective. You know, I'm like, well, it's not 100% effective. It lasts about three to four months, and then it's no longer effective. And when you have it, you can give COVID to people, and you can get COVID, and you can die. And so, you know, how effective is it? You know, like it's a bit like the masks. It's designed as a way of trying to, like, we've done the most incredible job of like terrifying people out of their minds. And I would say that the vaccine is primarily designed to, you know, to sort of undo some of that damage, but it isn't very effective. You know, that kind of undermines like the trust in the vaccine, but also undermines the trust in the, you know, the health system and everything else. And so this 97%, you know, reduction in the COVID deaths. So in like maybe you know maybe I didn't read it. Maybe I need to go back and read it again. But in my mind, it was basically saying of 130,000 people who died of COVID in Italy, only about 4,000 people died of COVID. They were healthy, whatever age people died of COVID. And the rest of them had like comorbidities, you know, which obesity, dementia, you know, lots of, you know, but generally more than two comorbidities, and you know, COVID kind of accelerated or caused them to die and things. So, like I think in Ireland, it was something like 98% of people who died of COVID never even went to the hospital, you know, because they were so old, they just died in old people's homes or died at home and things. And in Ireland, I think the actual excess deaths were either the same or down, so nobody basically died. You know, there was not excess deaths of people dying in Ireland anyway. I think it's probably the same in most countries. And but you know, if I think about it, you know, you've had 2 years of a pandemic that was supposed to be the most serious, you know, health threat to mankind, and I don't know anyone who died from COVID. I know people got ill from COVID, and you know, people had long COVID and all that kind of stuff, but I know at least five people who died because of the lockdown. People didn't have cancer treatment. People who just died of despair, I would say. They just whizzled away and just died. And I think if you were to have seen, like, you know, dumper trucks going around picking up dead bodies and putting them into plague pits, then I think you can send me sort of fact checks and tell me that I'm wrong. And I would, you know, I would say, like, in my adult life, I know two completely fit, healthy, you know, super fit people who almost died of pneumonia. Three people almost died of pneumonia. Ended up in hospital, ended up having, you know, long-term post-viral problems, you know, to this day. And I also know the people who had, like, post-viral, you know, so chronic fatigues that, you know, hung around for years and years and years afterwards, and you know, it took a long time for their lives to come back and stuff. So anyway, so with all the, like, it's not, I think the COVID is a separate issue. I think all that will eventually, well, I don't think it will eventually be talked about, because I think it will just go down the memory hole and we'll all just forget. But you know we'll just focus on all the damage. It's been, you know, we'll be, you know, there's a lot of money to be made from the damage. You know, there's a lot of, like, counselling and, you know, kids with germophobia and, you know, a lack of being able to communicate and understand how people's, you know, just like the damage is, like, is, you know, like, incalculable, like, what the damage we've done to especially young people, but especially old people as well. But I think for me the main thing is the damage to our ability to, and I saw something recently where there were, someone was saying that we should give vapes on the NHS, like, on prescription, for people who can't give up smoking. Now, if you can't buy a vape, and you have to get the NHS to give you one and probably supply you with stuff, like, you're fucked, basically. You know, you were never going to give up smoking. You know, it's just, you know, it's, but it's just like an indication of where we're at, really. And so I don't want to go too far down that, you know, because it's not really a rabbit hole, it's a rabbit warren. You know, and it's not about, you know, when I was on social media, it'd be like, oh, you sound like you think you know more than everybody else. And it's not about knowing more than everybody else, but it's knowing fucking something, you know, that other people just don't. I think it's not that they don't know it, they just don't want to know it. They don't want to, you know, oh, just, why do you have to talk about that all the time? Like, why can't you talk about something else? You know, it'd be like living in America and saying, you know, when you had slavery and, like, oh no, it's so terrible. Oh, why do you have to keep talking about slaves all the time? Like, oh God, they all live down there. Like, they love it, you know. So there is that kind of element of just, you know, covering your eyes, covering your ears, covering your mouth, and just, because it is kind of depressing. But it is kind of important. It's important to try and understand. But it's also important to keep running your validation program in your, to try and understand, am I going down a rabbit hole? Like, is this, you know, is, you know, if you think about it, could it, you know, if I think about, like, my whole, every winter for the last 20 years, like, every health, you know, every country's health system is basically at breaking point, and there's alarms going off, and it's, you know, people are piling up in the corridors, and, you know, has this kind of been that, you know, I'm not saying that this is not, like, again, this is the tax I have to pay, you know. Oh, Christ, I'm on your goddamn phone. Leave me alone. This is, you know, like, that's the how do you turn a phone off? Leave me alone. I'm trying to have a deep, anyway, so that's the kind of tax you have to pay. This is an example of the tax. You have to say, yes, COVID is a serious, you know, thing, and it's very dangerous, blah 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 blah. But I don't like paying taxes like that, so we'll just dictate that as read. But you can see this in a lot of things in your life, you know, like that we put a lot of trust into people about our education, our, you know, like, how we, you know, we just, in so many things. And I think it's about maybe trying to take ownership of trying to understand what's really going on, and trying to, be wary of what, you know, both what you hear that sounds like it's true, and also what you hear that sounds like it's false. You know, there's, you know, you can swap, like, one kind of ignorance for another kind. So really, you have to try and sort of, you know, stay in the middle. But fundamentally, it's always good to ask the question, why do I feel upset or offended at this person saying this? Is that because you don't want me to be the kind of person, you know, who you trust, who is not going to say, You know, masks are 100% ineffective. Like, I'm not going to say that because they're not 100% ineffective. Or to say that we, you know, we should keep burning coal for the rest of our lives and, you know, destroy the planet. Like, I'm not saying that either. You know, but you have to find some kind of some point where you can see both sides and not just one side. Because what's that thing? Like, if you only understand one side, you don't really understand anything, really. So it's but I think there was this thing that we're living in the great awakening in a way, in that, like, I think more and more people are slowly realizing that their sort of trust mechanisms and the media they consume has not been serving them well, probably all their lives, and their political parties, you know, the idea of like left and right and Labour, Conservative, or Democrats and Republicans, like, it's not serving them really. You know, it's serving other people very well, but not them. And so, yeah, so that's kind of interesting. If, you know, it's probably, you know, when people started reading, you know, when people stopped listening to the priests, you know, sort of telling them, you know, who could read Latin, reading from the Bible and telling them what to think. You know, when people started reading for themselves, you know, that was like one of the greatest, you know, manumission, you know, a great, you know, people had, you know, a lot more freedom and to try and understand what was going on. And that must have, you know, had a huge effect on people being less ignorant. But, you know, people like being ignorant. You know, it's a good excuse. Like, oh, no one told me, you know, they lied to me. You know, it's like, you know, the priest, you know, used to take my son off camping, you know, and he came back, he was always very quiet. But, you know, no one told me the priest was a paedophile. So yeah, so it's a little bit like, it's, you know. So anyway, so I thought I'd like add this. It's not like an amendum. I'll go and I'm just going somewhere to have a cup of coffee. I'll go and reread the fact check, and maybe I'm wrong, but my instincts say that that's not wrong. My instinct is, you know, you build these like mobile hospitals all over the world in the summertime to deal with this, you know, this, like, you know, the end of civilization. And then before the winter comes along, you dismantle them all again, when you know that's when the COVID's going to be its worst. So, we couldn't train enough nurses. And yes, you could. You could train people to build Spitfires and, you know, atomic weapons in you know, very quickly. You can do it. I think it's, yeah. Don't believe everything I say. You know, definitely don't believe anything I say. I don't believe 50% of what I say, and I don't believe 50% of what I think, maybe more than that. But also, maybe don't throw me under the bus straight away, because I think, you know, like I'm not a conspiracy theorist and everything else, but I do believe in how cowardly and incompetent, you know, institutions are, and I've sort of witnessed it all my life, and how corrupt they can become, in a very, you know, they're all kind of very human traits, like corruption and, you know, not wanting to upset anybody, and, you know, wanting to think about your career over everything else, and wanting to fit in. Like, most people are cowards. I'm a coward as well. Most people are, you know, they just want to, you know, that's why people believe in God and that kind of thing. It's good. You can blame the gods for all your fucking troubles when they're all your fault generally. I shall leave it there. Quick amendum. Sorry, there's no climbing related thing, but it was kind of sticking in my head. Cause I don't like people to think I'm Alex Jones or whatever. Although Alex Jones, if you ever listen to him, like, a lot of the stuff he says, is true. So, yeah, heretics. I am a heretic. You know, I am a dissident. When I was young, like, being counterculture and being rebellious was seen as being cool, but now it's being rebellious and counterculture is being like Disneyfied. So all these people who think they're being, you know, rebellious and dissident ideas, they're not. They're just uniform and mainstream and everything else. And, you know, so the real, You know, it's harder. It's never been so hard to be a, you know, to have views which are opposed to everybody else's. Like, people literally, you can feel like they want to spit in your face. You know what I mean? So, you know, because people are afraid of being, like, contaminated by, you know, your view. So, but again, that's a very understandable thing. You know, everyone wants to fit in. So, anyway, so that's it. I do apologise. I promise my next podcast will be light and airy, and it'll be about bunnies or something, or some climbing bunnies, and it'll be business as usual. We will never talk about this subject ever again. But if you want to send me an email, tell me that I'm wrong or whatever, I shall respond. And I responded to that, to this, and I appreciate you, and I'm not slagging you off for sending me that email. Like, I appreciate it. But it's just, and it's like an act of love. You know what I mean? It's an act of kindness to send that email. It's not an act of correction. It's, you may not realise this, but this is not true, which is an act of love. It's not, you know, shut up, you're a fucking idiot. Which, again, is an act of love, because it's like, you know, the more extreme people's response, you know, it's generally from people who care. You know, so the people who hate you the most, the people who love you the most, in a way, but you just let them down. And that, again, that will be the outcome of all this, because, you know, to go against the tribe, you know, to be betrayed by your tribe or by the people you trust is way worse than being betrayed by people who are your enemies, you know, in various forms. So it'll just end up with an even greater fragmentation of reality and well, it's not reality, it's based of unreality. You know, people will be like, shit, I'm going to have to start paying more attention to what's going on in the world, because these people are telling me that, you know, that this is rubbish, but then, you know, it turns out to be not rubbish, you know. So, yeah, for just saying that COVID, you know, came from a laboratory, if I'd said that, you know, like a year ago, this podcast could be taken down if it was on YouTube, but now it looks like it did. So, you know, who watches The Watchmen? That's why I was thinking. The book's much better than the film, though. Okay, goodbye. Until next time, I shall reply to my wife on the phone. Okay, bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.